February 13, 2023, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Wanneer we het over componeren hebben, komt de LP Giant Steps ter sprake, waarop Coltrane alleen eigen stukken speelde.
Yeah, but my approach was so limited then, but I was trying, you know, but
in what way you mean?
Well, melodically, mm-hmm. My approach. Those Giant Steps, that everything that I did on there was a kind of harmonic exploration, for me, exploration, you know. There was some harmonic sequences which I wasn't familiar with. Prior to that, you know, like I'd just been working on it, and it was kind of new to me. And I was working strictly from a chordal, sequential progression pattern, you know, and not melodically. And it was easy to soon exhaust that, you know, harmonic thing. But to write melodically is really the best way, because that then you are not governed by just a set rule here, set rule there. It takes in everything, you know. And it's much more flexible and more far-reaching for me to write like that than it is just to write from a harmonic basis.
For Pedro's show. Happy Monday. We started off John Coltrane talking to Michael DeRuiter about his Giant Steps album on December 1st, 1962. Then we had Ashton, Kvyat Whipple with Forward Motion. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got all the way from Ann Arbor making a Pedro connection. Kathy Ashton. Welcome aboard, Kath.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure.
Absolute. And big honor to have you aboard. I would like to ask you to bring your earliest musical memory.
Okay. Well, that would have to go back to my parents, of course, when they were big music fans, both of them. My dad loved Patti Page. But, you know, and it wasn't till later I got to hear some of that, because that was, you know, before I was born, but throughout their days, they would play that music. And so, yeah, we were a music family from the very beginning.
And in where you grew up, I know a little something about the history. There's some time in Manassas, there's some time in the Quad Cities, and then there's Ann Arbor. And I'm wondering, in any of those pads, was there musical instruments that you picked up?
Well, not me, you know, but Ronnie did, you know, back in Manassas, Virginia, where my dad was from, Washington, D.C., his family was very musical. I mean, they played accordions, they played, you know, banjo, and Ronnie became a big fan because of being exposed to that. And that was the first instrument that he learned to play was the accordion. And then we were still quite young when we moved from D.C. to Davenport, Iowa, and that's where things kind of picked back up, musically speaking. In fact, I was listening to your show with Voz, and you were talking about the Quad Cities. Yeah, that's Bettendorf, by the way, Rock Island, Moline, and Davenport.
That's it. Those are the four.
Yeah, that's the Quad, you know, because Illinois is right across the Mississippi from where we were in Davenport.
Right, anyways, so you got Iowa, Illinois.
Yeah.
And what's the other? Wisconsin, very close to each other.
Yes, exactly, you know. So that was really when the music started. Ronnie and I both sang in choirs, church choir, school choir. I don't think Ronnie sang in the school choir then. He did when he moved to Michigan, you know. But he picked up on the accordion, and then Scotty just sort of had a little drum pad, so he had interest in that. I don't really know, Mike, where the interest for drums came for Scotty, but at any rate,
you know what I heard. You know what he told me was Ig wanted after seeing Velvet Underground. Ig wanted to be a singer man and move off the drums.
Yeah.
So Scotty, he wanted to train to be the next drummer man.
Exactly. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That was after, when he was still a child living in Davenport, you know, he took kind of an interest in that.
This is way before he even met Ig. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so then, but then Ronnie got interested in guitar, and then I inherited the accordion.
Oh, so you got on the accordion. Did you have a teacher?
I sure did, Mr. Sinkovich, you know.
Of course, he'd be a Slav guy because he's really popular.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all I can remember is his giant foot. You know, I would go to his house in his basement. My mom would drop me off for the lessons, right? And he had this metronome I used, you know, I learned to play with that. And then his big foot would tap, 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 tap all the time I was playing, you know. So I'm sure that's where my good timing came in handy.
Yes, of course.
Was thanks to him.
Can you remember the first song he taught you?
It was a song called, Oh Come to the Sea. I mean, most people would never know what that was, but it was a beautiful song. In fact, I played it at a pupil performance in school in front of a real live audience. And shockingly enough, I wasn't terrified because my shyness was just like unbelievable when I was young.
Yeah.
But somehow the stage, I pulled that off, you know, and I actually really enjoyed it, you know. So, but yeah, so it was, I don't remember a lot of the songs, but, you know, your standard old standard songs from, you know, like the 40s, 50s, you know, how we all go back a decade or two with songs that we learn or we appreciate or enjoy.
Or the teacher likes. And I'm going to guess here, Kath, but maybe some polkas?
I didn't do polkas.
Okay.
Yeah, none of that.
Because my organ man, Pizzo, he got started on the accordion. He learned the polkas, colas, all these Eastern European dance songs. Yeah, kind of oompa.
I'd give anything to have that accordion now, I can tell you that.
What happened with it?
Well, there again, fast forward to Michigan, when Ronnie got more involved into the rock and roll stuff, guitars, he had been going to this music store and, you know, trying to buy things, and there wasn't a lot of money, and so he took the accordion sort of like as a collateral, you know, so he could get a guitar out.
Ah.
And yeah, and he never went back to get it, and they sold it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh. I mean, this thing was beautiful, you know, so
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It would be a fortune today, but.
Yeah, I can imagine. Kath, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I'm going to say it had to have been, it was Motown, you know, the 45s.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. And you could go to Kmart's. There was a Kmart. Oh, no, it was a version called an Arlen's. That cemetery you walked by almost to go to that mall. In that little shopping area was a store like a, it was called Arlen's. And then they had the big bins of all the 45s, right? And I was a big fan of, like, Mary Wells, the Shirelles.
Great singer.
Oh, yeah, you know. And I liked the Supremes. They weren't my favorite, you know. But and then, of course, the Four Tops. And so all the singles would come out. And that was when I first started buying music from babysitting money.
Ah. And what about the first gig you saw?
I saw the Rolling Stones, you know. I was pretty young. They played, and there's a debate in my head if it was Olympia or Cobo Hall, but it was with Brian Jones. And the reason I got to go is because my best friend's older sister took us. And so my mom gave permission because she felt I was in safe hands. And it was awesome, you know. Not bad for a first gig, eh?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I think either Ronnie or Scotty told me that a lot of England bands came in through Windsor.
Yes.
They'd come in through Canada from England in those days. So you guys got to see a lot of bands like
Yardbirds. Yeah, we did.
He told me about Yardbirds and Cream and even Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some club called the Fifth Dimension, Ronnie said. He saw maybe 90 people there. Nobody had come up to the front of the stage.
If even that. In fact, because that was the club, and all the British bands came through, you know, to this club. It was like a teen club, basically, based sort of on, like, Hullabaloo, you know, that teen show.
Sure, sure. I was just a boy, but I remember.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we were young, you know.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I would go, and we saw, like, the Yardbirds, Jimi Hendrix. It was just, who the heck was Walk Away Renee?
Kinks. Oh, Walk Away Renee, the Left Bank.
Those guys, yeah. Oh, and it was hysterical because.
I think they were from actually New York City.
Right. They weren't the British band. But the funny story about them was they came on, because they were big, you know, with that hit song and everything. And they come on stage, and the stage was like, in between the stage and the back of the stage was a dressing room. So you'd walk into this door, you know, off stage into the dressing room, and then you'd come out the other end, right?
Yeah.
And then people would kind of gather at the other end where they'd come out to meet them or see them or whatever, you know. So they came walking out from the little dressing room on stage to perform, and then we went around to the back, and then they started coming out, and all of a sudden I'm like, what the? They all had wigs on. And and I didn't recognize them. I'm like, who are these jocks, you know, coming out? And it was them, because one of them was kind of coming up and hitting on, trying to hit on me.
Yeah.
And I was like having nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And they were sporting wigs.
They were wearing wigs. It was so funny, you know.
Oh, man.
But, you know, Mike, I wonder if that was maybe wasn't Paul Revere and the Raiders or some, was it that uncommon maybe for some of these guys to wear wigs?
Maybe, you know, the Beatle look, right? The Beatle haircut, maybe.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, they might have lived a straight life, but they knew they had to kind of rock it out when they went to the town, you know?
You know, you gave me this song, this dance. I want to play it.
There's something up the sleeve at the rumor mill. It was generally believed. Thank you. my back, and it's just my shape, and you can't see the view. Maybe there's an ape, and you will see a scene, and it's got you in it, and you block your own view behind you. Wait a minute. Of your view, there's lots of things behind you. If you could only see a few, but imagine your surprise when I tell you you can't see what you wanna anyway. We'll be right back.
coastal trees. Take a look in your forest. The truth is easy to see. And see the planet, up comes and see the planet. It comes and see the planet. Up comes and see the planet, it comes and see the planet, up comes and see the planet, it comes and see the planet, up comes and see the planet, it 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 comes and see the planet.
Ahead of the man.
From Pedro Show, that chunky music started off with Ashton Kavaran. Kavaran? Yep. How do I pronounce that, Kev?
Kavaran, yeah.
Kavaran, sorry. Kavaran and Whipple. This dance. And then we had L7. Remember that Ann Arbor band? Larissa. Yeah, she. This is the band she was in before she had Laughing Hyenas with John.
Oh.
Right. And Third Man Records put out, I guess they recorded a bunch, and they put out the stuff. Only a 7-inch came out in the old days, but they put out everything they recorded just recently. Yeah. Dan Buick from Third Man Records, he sent me this, Larissa. We lost her, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sad. Heroin and stuff, you know. But they were a good band, and Laughing Hyenas was a good band, too.
Yes. Yes.
John had God, what was it? He had a hardcore band before that that was pretty, I think they got back together and been doing some gigs. Anyway, after that we had from Brian Day's Prodigy, Anti-Strawberry, Simple, Super Simple. Then Albert Bouchard, this is the drummer from the Blue Oyster Cult. He went and we did a bunch of his older songs and parts of his Imaginist opera, and he had me sing on this song. It's called Curse of the Hidden Mirrors. He said it was for their producer, manager, Sandy Pearlman. They went to college with him and everything. They lost him. He got to talk to him in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And it was the only time where Sandy couldn't, like, talk over him because he was in a coma.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's very heavy. So I said, sure, Albert, I'll sing this.
Yeah.
And then after that, Adele Mead with Sloboda, which I think is Slav for Freedom.
Yeah.
Cod O'Donnell out of England, the Luddite's Thumb, right? The Luddites were people who wanted to break up the machines because they thought we'd all lose our jobs if the machines got too powerful. Guided by Voices after that from Dayton, Face Eraser. Dayton, it's near where them... trains wrecked, right? And all that chemicals and the fire.
Oh, my God.
God.
Yeah, that even turned out to be worse than what they were first letting on, you know?
You know what? A reporter tried to ask the governor some questions. They arrested him.
Yeah, you know about this.
Okay. Yeah, kind of a bad scene.
A real bad scene.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's even some talk of it was a deliberate act. You know,
like sabotage. You know, some people have been shooting up power stations, right? Maybe
I know it. Scary.
Yeah, come on, people.
Very scary. Well, you know, they found another one of these balloons right over Lake Huron.
That's right.
At night,
where I'm at right now.
You know.
Right, right. I remember Ronnie had a pad right on.
That's it. That's the place I have.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never got to visit there. I ran out of time.
Yeah.
Shit. Anyway, after that, you know, that's Face Eraser. Bob Pollard, you know, this guy makes an album every 2 months. He's so prolific. Then Ivan the Tolerable. No, Lars Steinberg after that with My Favorite Friends. And then Ivan the Tolerable, which is a prodigy Ollie's got over in England before the sun sinks. Noisuke out of Cat Peter, he's Southern California. Old Song Part 6. And finally, Bondo with Container. So, do you remember when the Stooges first were doing prac?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it at the pad? Was it in the basement?
At my mom's, the basement family home.
Okay,
yeah.
That's where I figured, because they didn't get that funhouse house till later on, right?
Exactly, no. That was actually house 3, you know, the funhouse.
Oh, it was actually the third one, okay.
Uh-huh, the third one, yeah. Because there's a little known place, or very little known place, that was the Vreeland Roadhouse. That was the first place they actually holed up at, which at Ron Richardson's house, their manager at the time.
Oh, right, and the guy who turned into like a health food guy later, right?
Yes, yeah. No. That was Jimmy Silver.
That's right. Scotty, you know, these guys told me all, it's hard to retain it all, but I loved hearing all this.
Oh, yeah. So many stories, yeah. Well, I've been kind of jotting stuff down. Of course, you know Don Fleming.
Of course.
He and I had got together and did some Q&A recordings at his little, you know, man cave in New Jersey. And we started that a couple years ago, so there's like a book pretty much in place, you know. The Ashton Family Scrapbook is kind of my working title for it, you know.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of stories in there, you know. And I still need an editor. That's kind of my hang up right now, you know.
Sure, of course. But,
yeah.
Because there's probably too much and you got to like boil it down.
Well, I'm not an editor. I mean, I'm not even a writer. You know, the only reason it could happen was because the stories were there and they were talked out instead of written. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
conversation. So, yeah.
Exactly. And so Ben Blackwell, third man. Ben,
oh, yeah, yeah. The drummer guy. Right, right. I saw him in Dirt Bombs.
Yes, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. he read some of it and loved it. Now, there's a mutual friend of ours that she's been pushing me thinking, well, Kathy, he'd probably edit that, you know, but I never really come right out and said or asked him, you know.
Yeah.
But he was the one that put out that 45, the Ashton Ash and Kavar and Whipple, you know.
Okay.
That came via Third Man Records.
That's right,
you know?
That's right.
But it was also during the pandemic when it was supposed to come out for Record Store Day.
And everything got held up.
And there was no Record Store Day, so there went that record release. But it did come out, I think, later in that year, you know. But because we were going to do the show, you and I, back then.
Sure, sure, sure. So finally, we're doing it now. But can you remember when they all got – did all four of them – was that all of them there, Dave, Scotty, Ronnie? Okay. Do you remember that first practice?
Yes. At 107 is what we call the family home, right?
Yeah, right, right.
It actually was Michael Davis that gave us that nickname.
The bass man of MC5.
Yeah, because he was a regular to come over there in the early days, and I'll say no more about that right now, but he would come over.
I think he ended up in Chico here, and cancer got him.
He
was living up, like, by Fresno.
Oh, yeah, I see. We lost track of him. I didn't know any of that, you know, what happened to him, you know, But he was the one, he referred to the house coming over to 107, you know. But yeah, because it was Ronnie, Dave, and Scotty that first started jamming down there. And then when Iggy got in on the picture, then that's where they would come. Iggy would take a bus across town to the house when, of course, my mom was working because she was fine with everybody down there. But then when she came home from work, of course, she'd flick the basement light off and on to let us know time to stop. You know?
was Ig still in Ypsilanti then?
Yeah, he was in Ypsilanti. Okay. He was at the trailer.
So he would have to take the bus over. Okay.
Yeah, he'd take the bus over.
He told me something. He said only Dave had a car. His parents got him a Volkswagen Bug.
That's right. You know, well, his first car was actually a Corvair. Okay.
Yeah.
That when we met him and Ronnie and I had a discrepancy, was it red or yellow? I said it was yellow. But Ronnie kept saying it was red, you know.
Ain't that weird about memory? It can be so trippy.
Exactly, you know. But it was a Corvair. That was his. He didn't get the Volkswagen until the Stooges got over to the Funhouse, you know.
Okay. He just said that to me once. He told me he kind of didn't like it because he wanted a car.
Well, of course, exactly, you know. But Dave had the car, and he could make it from Ann Arbor to Detroit in record time, about 35 minutes.
Whoa, that's good.
That's going like a hundred. Oh, he would drive like hell, you know. And, in fact, he would pick me up from school, you know. He was older, you know, and that was the big thing. Like, who's this guy picking you up from school? I mean, I was like in junior high, you know. And then Scotty and I became friends with Dave. This was before Ronnie got involved with Dave, you know.
Oh.
But then he would pick us up and take us around. He would speed so fast. And Scotty and I would say, stop the car, let us out, you know.
Look, Kath, we're at the end of the first hour. February 13, 2023 edition. What Peter Show special guest, Kathy Ashton. Hold tight for hour two. February 13th, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You had the flu, my love. We played like steel, wrapped in the sea. I was enthralled by the line of your thighs. Your elegant pose as you drifted to sleep with me. I'm
Show. We started off the second hour with Ragnar Kavaran.
Kavaran.
Jesus, I'm an idiot. I'm so sorry, Kev.
That's okay.
Kavaran. Ragnar Kavaran with Lace Curtains. And then from Alaska, Anchorage, Muskeg Mudsuck with Blath Artach. Mike Molnar, Low Flight after that. Snowfield Chalice of My Magnolian Exile from Helena Sella featuring Jennifer Walton. Then Cunningham / Volt / Sarah with Incoming Calls. Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City. No result. And finally, Midwestern Medicine with Rocket Lunch. So, I did not know that Ronnie got booted because I thought he was a pretty good bass player. Listen to that stuff on Raw Power. Oh, my God.
Oh, he was. He turned into an excellent bass player. You know, I always listen to Henry Rollins. It just, you know, gives Ronnie huge accolades for his bass work, you know.
Absolutely.
And absolutely is right. But that's what he was interested in. What he first got going on was playing bass. And but he just was out to try, you know, and because he knew Iggy, they got invited. The Prime Movers were like the Ann Arbor band, you know.
Right.
And so they liked Ronnie, too. He would hang out at their place. And so they said, yeah, you can come on stage with us. And it was at this club called Mother's, you know, which was like, again, the teen club that everybody went to, you know. And so then they put him on bass, which he gave it his best shot. But they wanted somebody that had more chops. This is basically what it was. And Ronnie wasn't there yet, you know.
Okay.
But then right on the heels of that came The Chosen Few. And it was actually Iggy that set that up, too, because everybody would kind of like congregate at Discount Records, you know, and where Iggy worked.
He worked at that store because Brother Steve got the job after him, he told me.
Yes. And that's the thing, because Iggy was sort of like the man about town, you know, in terms of music and introducing everybody.
Right.
And Scott Richardson waltzed into the record store one day, said he was looking for a bass player. And that's when Iggy said, I got this guy, and introduced Ronnie to him. So Ronnie played bass with The Chosen Few.
Okay.
And that went on for quite a while. That's when Scotty was sort of, that's a wayward stage of Scotty, you know, kind of finding his way in the world. He was lost, kind of getting in trouble. And that's when my mom sort of interjected the Ronnie, take him around with you. And Ronnie would take Scotty to the gigs, The Chosen Few gigs.
Uh-huh.
And then Scotty would help out with the drum kit. And that's when he started getting more interested in the drums. And then when Iggy got into the pictures and when it became the Stooges first practicing, Iggy taught Scotty to play drums because he was down there with the little keyboard, Iggy, initially.
Yes.
In fact, Iggy's idea was for me to be their singer.
Whoa.
And so,
this was Psychedelic Stooges, right?
Yeah, this was Psychedelic Stooges. And then, of course, my brothers are like, what? You know? Which I do not blame them, because, of course, I knew none of this. This was all behind my back.
But you did watch some of the pracs, right?
Oh, yeah, I did, because I was right there, you know. But Iggy heard me singing, apparently, you see. And he liked my voice. Me just singing along to a song in the car, radio, or whatever, you know. And then, of course, my brothers were right. They said, there's no way she would never do that. And, of course, I wouldn't have, you know, because look at what happened with those guys. I mean, they are what they were supposed to be, you know, the four of them.
Right.
And I remember, you know, hearing Scotty, or I thought it was Iggy playing drums, and I'm upstairs in the kitchen, and the basement door opens up, and it was Iggy. So I thought, oh my God, that's Scotty playing. I mean,
did you know Iggy before this? Did you know him at school? Well, you said he was like the music cat in town, right?
I met him at the record store. That's how
Okay.
Yeah. And
Discount
and
Records.
This was like pre-Prime Mover days. This was pre-Stooges, you know.
But it's post-Iguana.
Yes, exactly. This is after the Iguanas,
which,
you know.
People, listeners, you got to understand, that's where it gets his name, because he was the drummer man for the Iguanas.
Yeah. Oh, and the Pop name came from
Joe Pop. Scotty told me about this guy. He lost all his eyebrows and ramming his head into a wall.
Yeah, Jim Pop.
Jim Pop, I'm sorry.
Name.
Yeah.
And so he was sort of like, let's put it this way. He and his family were like from the wrong side of the tracks, you know, and they were in our classes in school, you know,
yeah.
And then he had a sister as well, too, that that I kind of befriended, you know, Jim's sister, Janae. But then when Iggy heard Scotty refer to Jim Pop, he loved that, you see. So that's when he took
the last
time.
Yeah, because Scotty said some gig, Iggy shaved off all his eyebrows and the glitter got in his eyes and he was blinded. And it reminded him of Jim Pop losing his eyebrows from running his head into a wall.
Well, Jim had some sort of alopecia, I think it's called, or some sort of, it was a medical condition.
Yeah, he said it was a nerve.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And so he was kind of baldish, you know, Jim, the Jim Pop.
Right, right,
and,
right.
But anyway, so, yeah, but when you think about Iggy Pop, yeah, that that translated pretty well for him, you know?
Sure, sure. Because on the first record, he's called Iggy Stooge. You know, you gave me this song, another Ragnar Kvaran.
Yeah.
My Baby Thinks I'm Perfect. I Won't Play.
Yeah, it's a hot tune.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. 0, 1, 4, 4, 1, 6, 8, 5, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you. welcome mat with a marked map. He totes a question mark tagged across his back. He's got a marked map. He's got a marked map. We wait. We think alone, alone, alone. It's okay, no matter what you do, you know you'll be alone. We'll be alone together, all alone. We're all on a lone journey. He threw his phone out, he's putting on his backpack. Someone called it running away, but that's not how it is. I think he wanted to stay, but needed to know how it was.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, that chunk of music start off Ragnar Kaaren with My Baby Thinks I'm Perfect. Then we had Shit. This is from Japan, so maybe something lost in translation. But the name of this band is Shit and the Midnight Mexican Highway. Okay. And the Wrong Knot is the name of the tune. And then another band from Japan, but this guy is actually from Portland, Oregon, who leads it. Lum and the Texas Homewreckers with Mezcal Brain Rot. And you know Mezcal people. That's tequila that ain't from Jalisco, because you got, you know, oh, sort of like bourbon, right? Whiskey. Bourbon's got to come from a part of Kentucky to be called bourbon. Same thing with tequila. Okay. After that, Amphibian Fruit Punch from Shiverboard. They're live at the House of Yarga in Philly, September 24, 2022. Ah, here's another Japanese band called Orc, Under the Oak. Diane Marie Clove after that with Mark the Map. Maxine Fuca with Forest Photographer. And finally, Ray Shin with Space in the Crowd. Enlighten us to Ragnar Kaaren in this tune.
Okay. Well, Ragnar was my husband. I met him through Ronnie, who was, this is like in between the Stooges and Reunion Stooges. You know, Ronnie and Scotty both kept playing music and go to all the clubs around town. And Ronnie met this band called Ragnar Kaaren and really liked them. And they asked him if they were working on a record, if he would produce, which he said yes. And then that's how I met Ragnar. Okay.
Okay.
And then we fell in love and got married, Ragnar and I. And then, but later on, after a few years being with Ragnar, because he was always playing, you know, music and trying to succeed. And then eventually the bass player decided to move over to guitar, and they asked me if I would play bass.
This and is so how you get on bass. Okay.
Yeah. And so then I was kind of like, well, okay, you know, and I actually took to it pretty well. I was talking to Drew from, Vaz, and I kind of jokingly said, well, I'm not the best bass player, but I have perfect timing, you know? And he was like, yeah, well, that's what a bass player is, right?
Yeah. Hilton, stand-up guy in jazz, they called him the judge because he was so good with his time.
Yeah, see, that's the big thing, right? Well, it was Mr. Sinkovich, remind you, right. The accordion teacher that taught me timing. But anyway, so then I played with Ragnar for several years in his band, and but I also sang some stuff as well, too. And then Rog decided to kind of hang it up. It's a kind of a long story, you know, and our relationship was sort of in the decline, you know. So then I wasn't ready to stop playing and wanted to continue. And so I got a hold of this guy, Tony, the Whipple guy, and said he was the brother of Ragnar's drummer. And said, why don't we start up a little band? And then we roped Scotty into it as our drummer. And so Scotty played with us. We did a few gigs. We did some recordings. And that's the Ashton Kaaren Whipple, because it's Scotty playing drums, I play bass and sing, and it's Ragnar's music. He wrote the music, the lyrics, and he and I are still very good friends. I love this man. He taught me a lot, and I think he's a fabulous musician, an excellent writer, and both my brothers just loved him to pieces, too. One of the reasons Scotty agreed to play with us was because he loved Rog's music, you know, so... That's what those stand, let's see, This Dance and Forward Motion songs are.
Ah, beautiful story. We're at the end of the second hour, Kath. February 13th, 2023 edition, Wapedra Show, special guest Kathy Ashton. Hold tight for hour three. February 13th, 2023 is the third hour of the Wapedra Show.
He parks in the snow. Look. look at the writing. Why, mama, mama, how do we think of that? 3 feet away.
хотите. Не и тут, и тут. Не везде хорошо.
Thank you.
spot for Pedro's show. We started off the third hour with Ragnar Kvaran. Finally getting the
pronouncer. Yeah.
So sorry. So apologize, Ragnar. No disrespect. Anyway, this was the toilet. This is the opus.
Yeah.
This is the bottom line to the reality on the dealio. After that, we had Lampredanto and Mark Stewart with Track Toxic Waste Bonus Beats. Then, God, this band's got like 30 letters in their name. Deuce Semola Cocla Sinavertitatis. God damn. And Gazelle of Death is named the tune. Yeah. It's Tolan McDonough collaborating with some Sicilian guys. Tim Wholehouse out from England after that with Time and finally Infinite River. Brand new, this collab. The Flenser, that label. And this is called Track 2. Yeah, well, you can't think of name people. Just call it Track 2.
There you go.
So you get, okay, when it came to the, you see, Ragnar, he wrote the music, but he wrote the lyrics too. So
yeah,
the toilet was his baby.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here with the lyric sheet, right, of the toilet, and you got to sing this. You got to sell it, right?
I don't have all that in front of me, but yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, in the was he there in the studio? I mean, or was this your take? You know.
Well, the two songs, you know, the Ashton and Kvaran Whipple,
yeah.
Ragnar played guitar as well on those recordings, and he added some guitar parts, like
Not the bass player?
No, I play bass.
No, but I thought the bass player moved to guitar.
Oh yeah. Oh no, these were songs after the Kvaran band.
Okay.
This was the Kvaran, the Ashton Kvaran Whipple was
okay.
Scotty and me,
right,
and then Tony. But then we would kind of rotate with the guest guitarist when we did some live shows.
Uh-huh.
But Tony had this really sweet little recording studio, and so we did. Those are just a couple of those songs that we recorded at his studio. We did all that live, and then Ragnar came in and added a couple guitar parts, you know, that he had played. Because those two songs were also songs that Ragnar did in his band, the Ragnar Kvaran band.
So they got repurposed.
They got repurposed because that's what I'm saying. I thought, no, I'd like to keep this going a bit, you know, and so we did, you know. And so I'm sort of back out trying to resurrect a few more things. And then one of the songs that I had given you to almost play, which will come later, you know who Pete Bankard is?
Man,
I met him,
but I can't remember the name so much. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because I didn't expect you to, until I said Dark Carnival.
Oh,
you
know, yeah. Okay, yes.
So
Ronnie and Niagara.
Exactly. Pete was the bassist.
Yeah, right.
And
we're very
good friends with both Ronnie and Scotty. And you know the recordings, let's see. They made some recordings, Ronnie and Scotty, some jams at Pete's studio in 2008, you know, which was right before Ronnie passed away.
Yeah.
And they were, and some of the music was intended to be the next Stooges album.
After the Weirdness, right.
After the Weirdness. And, which is another story. And then and then some of it was also possibly recordings to work on some stuff with Jack White.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because he really wanted to play with Ronnie and Scotty as well.
Right.
But I remember
that.
We had these recordings, so Pete stripped some of the jams down, and I'm singing. We created a couple songs. So I'm singing, playing bass on one or two. Pete added a bass line. And these are the yet-to-be-released kind of songs that we've been working on behind the scenes here. So, and they're, I think, coming out pretty darn good because, of course, it's Ronnie and Scotty at their best. And
right.
So I sent it to Ragnar, these jams, and I said, I need lyrics.
So he's still involved.
He's still involved.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
Because
he can write words like the toilet. I mean.
Yes. And, you know, and he hasn't done anything musically at all, you know. And he said, well, I don't know if I can come up. And I said, yes, yes, you can. I know you can come up with some lyrics.
Right.
And boy, did he. Yeah.
Very interesting. What about this? You know, this was trippy. You sent me the song twice with two different titles. I kept the title absolutely okay, but it also had a title, Rag.
Yeah.
Now, this is an instrumental.
Yes. It's just a little piece of him. His guitar work was just so incredible. You know?
Yeah, he's good. And,
oh, the guy, he's fabulous, you know. And so it was just a little thing that he was noodling with, and I just loved it so much, you know, that I wanted to give it a little spot.
Okay, let me play it right now.
Be careful. Watch out.
Thank you. We'll be right back. of a shade to the lake, belly full of whiskey and butter cake. Cold black water comes a rushing. Everybody says, been whispering.
Thank you. in time. Is it the truth? I'm next in the line. 'Cause now is the time to justify. Wake from this dream. Wipe the sleep from your eyes.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. That chunk of music started with Ragnar Kvaran with Absolutely Okay. And more than okay, that's some incredible guitar work. Much respect. After that, Sonic Rendezvous Band, right? This band, such a great band, they made 145. Scotty told me that Fred just did not want to record.
Well,
I think he had bad experience with the MC5.
Yeah, but that was the only one official recording. But, of course, as you know, through Carlton, his Easy Action.
Right. Sandercock in England.
Yes, he's done a shitload of recordings of the Rendezvous, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Mostly live recordings.
Well, this one here was a live thing. And it's beautiful. I mean, I've heard a few great live things. Scott Morgan is such a great singer. I mean, that was a good band.
They were so good. Yeah, I mean, they really could have succeeded, you know. And then a Patti Smith came into the picture, which kind of broke things up, you see. And Scotty was devastated by all that, of course, too, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were good. No question.
So this was So Sincerely Yours.
Yeah.
After that, we had Avaz, who has been on the show because of you, Kath, with Fired and Free, tune that you flowed me. Ella Swan after that, Horse's Bones, Suicide Hill. After that, that's Benji in North Carolina with a vast tight string conspiracy. Great guitar man. Also, Soons, they were on the show a couple episodes ago, Montreal Cats. Witness Protection is the tune. Some other Montreal musicians here, Quebecois, Ratchet Orchestra with Big Charles. That's live too. And finally, Mizutama Shobadon with Will-O-Wisp. Okay, so that's what your project is now, is you're repurposing these jams Ronnie and Scotty did.
Yes, and so, again, the music of Ronnie and Scotty, I mean, it's just his guitar licks, his lines that he's playing, Ronnie and Scotty, they were just so tight, and so it's like, yeah, we need to put some of this out and give it like a new life, you know. I know they used some of those recordings for that Three Stooges movie.
The Jim Jarmusch?
No, the literally the...
Oh, the real Stooges. Yeah, you know, Ronnie told me about them having to call them up when they got signed because they had to get permission. And they said, okay. And then he ended up taking care of Larry at the old... folks home in Hollywood.
Yeah, he met his Larry's niece, and then she started taking him over there. And of course, Ronnie was in heaven, you know.
Yeah.
That he got to meet Larry Fine and hang out, and it was just, you know, I've got some photos of that, you know, because that was during the New Order days.
Oh yeah, Starwood. They were playing. And this one, Ronnie, listeners. This one, Ronnie was living in Hollywood.
Yep, living
in
Hollywood.
I think for a little while with Angie Bowie. She gave him a pad to stay, he told me.
Well, and then they got their own place, you know, the Coronet Apartments on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, they told me about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Notorious, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like totally the trash band house, you know.
Right, right. But Main Man just cut them off. James Williamson told me they even took that suit with the funny collar.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they're really, really cutthroat about that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're going to get these tunes together.
Yes.
You know, Kathy, it would be beautiful when you do get together to come back on the show and play
stuff
and talk about it. Because, you know, I want to see what Ragnar does.
Yeah, exactly. And then I've become a big fan of Voz, and so I'd like to have Drew and add some guitar parts.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. They're beautiful, man. They're coming
along
great.
They are beautiful, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so to come.
Yeah, that's our plan. But thanks for doing this for here and then these tunes to catch up on the old days and stuff. But can't wait to have you back on. Thank you so much, Kath, truly.
You're welcome, Mike. It was a lot of fun.
People, it's been the February 13th, 2023 edition of the Watt for Peter. So keep your powder dry.